Ephesians chapter 1. Reading from Ephesians chapter 1, we continue our look at the doctrines of grace, and as we're on you, we are on unconditional election. We saw last time that we are chosen according as He has chosen us. We saw last time how salvation is all according to the choice of God, according as He hath chosen us. And we read these words in verse 3 onwards. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. This evening, as we continue to look at this all important subject of unconditional election, as opposed to a kind of election, a kind of choice based upon what we do, unconditional election, we see from our verse 4, in Him before the foundation of the world, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Not only was a choice made, but it was in Him. And so we see, first of all, it is in and through Christ Jesus the choice was made. The choice was not made by Christ Jesus, the choice was made in Him. All three persons of the Godhead are at work in the wondrous work of redemption, but there is a specific work for each person in the Godhead. And we say that it is the work of God the Father, who is the one who elects, choosing His people in His Son. We see in Him, in Christ, that is who it is speaking of here in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. And we see this spoken of by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 65 and verse 9. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of My mountains, and Mine elect shall inherit it, and My servants shall dwell there. What many people fail to realise is, when we talk of the elect, there are two elect. There are the elect many, the great multitude out of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue, nation and tribe, and there are the redeemed, And there is the Redeemer, who is elect of God as well. And this Isaiah 65 verse 9 is speaking of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the elect one. He's the chosen one. He's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. So when we look at election and who the elect of God are, we see that the elect, the chosen of God, are elect in the elect one. And that is all important. We cannot be elect in any other. We cannot come to God and find that and claim that we are elect if we are not in the elect one, if we are not in Christ. We do not come by the way of Christ. We cannot lay claim to be elect. We cannot come any other way. We cannot come our own way. The chosen one, the anointed of God, the seed, Christ, seed singular of Judah, he is called the elect one, the one promised to Abraham, we read of in Galatians 3. Makes it plain, Galatians 3, seed is speaking of one, and that being Christ. And as the elect of God, as the elect of God are so in him. Elect in him, as he hath chosen us in him. It's all important. Those he redeemed on the cross have to be the elect only, because it's in him before the foundation of the world. And so it cannot be decided upon or undecided upon in time. It cannot be erased. The decision cannot be revoked. And we read in Isaiah 65 verse 9, it says, "And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains." And that's a very interesting expression. The mountains speaks very often in the scriptures of the mountains of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city built on the seven hills, and speaks of the strength of the city. But here is talking of the great city of God that was touched upon in the ministry the other night. The great city of God, Zion, city of God, the church, God's people. This speaks of the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, who will inherit the mountains of God. The mountains of God. The mountains of God refers to the city of Jerusalem, and more specifically to the spiritual Jerusalem, the church, his elect ones. He will inherit them. He will inherit them. He will see of the travail of his soul and be glad. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, as we read, he came specifically, he came definitely, he came purposefully, he came specifically to save a specific people, his elect, in him, we read, in him. These were a people given to him that he must not lose any. And so, based on the Saviour's words, which we will read in a minute, it must be true that not all are elect. Otherwise, he's failed. And he's failed miserably. Because there are many that are lost. There are many that do not come to salvation. And so what of those? He's failed in his task if he has come to lose none out of everyone. He has. Well, that is not the case. But he must not lose any. God the Father chose the objects of his electing grace and gave them to the care of God the Son, that he shall save his people from their sins. Not might, he shall save his people from their sins. And he has. You see in John chapter 6, you know, when we look at some of these verses tonight, I think our hearts will be strangely warmed to see the extent of this election, and to be a recipient of that grace. John chapter 6 and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That is one of several verses we'll look at tonight which speaks in an interchangeable, interlocking, intricate sense of present, past and future, all perfectly joined but all linked to eternity past itself. Election is primarily the prerogative of God the Father, quite clearly from verse 37. The Father has given. The Father have given to me. Given. It's his prerogative. We were saying the other night about how people have a warped view of the Holy God, the Triune God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, robbing each one in different ways of their glory, robbing God of his glory. And God the Father quite often is robbed of his glory by the way people refer to God, and very rarely refer to God as God the Father. But he is the first person of the Trinity, now one God, but in God's marvellous, wonderful being, he is the first person. And verse 37 teaches that it's the Father, it is the Father's determined, immutable, immovable will to save a people for himself, the elect. They must and will all be saved. Jesus says it quite clearly. All that the Father have given to me will come. That is not ambiguous in the slightest, is it? It's not ambiguous in the slightest. All that the Father have given will come. And so it's quite clear that it is an almighty work of God himself. It is an immovable, immutable, determined will to save a people for himself, the elect. And they must and will all be saved. None. That I should lose none. And they will be saved in him. In him. Father hath given me, and I will lose none. In him, that is, Christ Jesus, God the Son, committed to him. We read these words in 1 Peter chapter 2. Reading from verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Coming to the one disallowed of men, but chosen of God, elect of God. He's backing up what was said to the prophet Isaiah. Jesus Christ is that all-important elect one, chosen of God as the one way of salvation. He's the God-man. He's the mediator. He's the mediator of the covenant of God. The one way of salvation, yet not valued by man. And also we see here that it is only in and through the Lord Jesus, in him, that we can be acceptable to God, offering acceptable sacrifices through Christ. There's nothing that we can do for God. There is nothing that we can present to God that is clothed in ourself. Nothing. Scripture is very clear on that. It's a filthy rag. I got in trouble almost for, well, I did get in trouble for saying this the other two, 3 months ago, because someone misunderstood what I was saying. Well, I just said what the scriptures are saying. Isaiah is told it is like a menstrual cloth, so much so that we are unacceptable in the sight of God. A filthy rag. Anything we do of ourselves, it's only that we are acceptable to God in and through him. And so once again we see how these doctrines cannot be separated. The doctrine of the elect and the doctrine of the atonement or the redemption. Unconditional election is intricately joined to the work of the atonement, to the work of redemption. Intricately. And that's why this opening passage of the letter to the church at Ephesus is so rich in its doctrine, so rich in the gospel doctrine here. For we see in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 these words. It's all here, all linked. We see in verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. In him, chosen in him before the foundation of the world, redeemed in him. That's why it is all important that it is in him alone. Because if we are not elect in him, when he stretched out those hands on Calvary's cross, we were not redeemed in him. And that is the teaching that the world does not accept, that the religious world, the Christian world in general, refuses to accept. In whom? It's personal. The Lord Jesus is the beloved of the Father. And so if belonging to him, you are acceptable to the Almighty. That's what the Apostle Peter is bringing out there. He's saying we offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, because they're not our sacrifices. It's in Him. It's in Him, and all is in Him. All because of election. But it's not just in and through Him. Elect in Him, chosen in Him from all eternity, from the foundation, before the foundation of the world in itself, from eternity, if we could even understand what eternity is. We turn to another scripture, into 2 Timothy verse 1, chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 9. Read from verse 8 first of all. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And so we see the same apostle as is used in Ephesians chapter 1 is bringing out by the Spirit of God by him rather, is bringing out, breaking it down even more to us here. Before the foundation of the world, what is it saying here? It's saying here that this calling is according to his own purpose and grace, which was given. Grace was given to you before you existed, before the world existed. Grace was granted to you. It is all according to the election of grace, accordingly chosen in him. 2 Timothy 1:9 speaks of a salvation given in him. Given. It was given. We don't speak of giving things, past tense, before it's given, do we? We speak after. We say, I was given that cup of tea after I was given it. But this speaks of, yes, it's after now, because Christ has come and has fulfilled his mission of which, what he came to do. But it's saying it was given before that. It was given long before that. It was given before the world began. It was literally given. We're looking at deep things here that we cannot comprehend. Past tense. Although not received until after the fall into sin, and after we even were born, and certainly after Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Although not received, it was nonetheless given. It was committed to God's elect from eternity. The elect one, the Saviour. In him, it was safe in him. If I could use the terminology, it was safe in his hands. And he does use that terminology, doesn't he? In my hands, none shall pluck them. Safe in his hands. Before the foundation of the world, we read. In him, before the foundation of the world, before any star or planet or sun or moon or angel masquerading as whatever, before that any angel fell from their original position, became a demon, before anything created, he purposed and he committed to save a people for himself. A covenant, a decree that could not be revoked, was declared in the courts of the Almighty God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, in the councils of the Triune Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And so none of those elected unto salvation can be lost. David speaks these words, King David speaks these words in 2 Samuel 23. I would say most believers should, if they want to have a motto text, should have this. You do a lot worse than having this as your motto text to cheer you and whatever happens in your life. Personally, whatever you experience in this life, with dealing with anyone else in this life, here it is that cheers the soul. 2 Samuel 23 verse 5. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Is ordered and sure. Whatever befalls me, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. But it was well with my soul before I had a soul. Understand that if you can. Ultimately, the believer has been chosen from eternity, elect for the sake of God the Son, the Beloved. Because God the Son is the Beloved, he is the object of the Father's eternal delight, scriptures tell us. He ever was before him, the object of his delight, his eternal delight. And so those who are in him are the object of his delight, because they are in him. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6 again. We could stay in Ephesians chapter 1 for all of this, really. The way it just flows wonderfully together. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, or the Beloved. The Beloved doesn't speak of the church, although it can be applied to the church in Christ afterwards, but this isn't speaking of the church. Accepted in the Beloved speaks of in him, in Christ. He's the Beloved One. He is the Beloved. And that's, he is the basis and the only basis of our acceptance with God. Accepted in the Beloved, because we are elect in him, chosen in him. It is all of God's electing grace that his people are accepted. All of God's grace that his people are accepted. I thought for a moment I'd forgotten a verse of scripture, glorious verse of scripture, and it's almost as if it's been erased from my page here. No, here it is. I didn't see it. It was Timothy took over. Romans chapter, I'm going to just backtrack a minute, because this is a lovely verse of scripture, which brings together that thought of elect, past tense, truly past tense, given, past tense. Romans chapter 4 is speaking of God working by the faith of Abraham. Romans chapter 4 verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. We read a little earlier before that, it says, verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That is the election of grace. God, who was calling Isaac, the deadness of the womb, but yet he was calling Isaac. There was no seed, but he was calling Isaac. He was calling his people in eternity past. He elected them when they were not. That's not our sort of election, is it? That's not the way we choose. But all according to the election of grace, that it would all be according to God who calleth, not him that runneth. And so we see that it is in the Beloved we are accepted, and in him alone. In him alone, Jesus, the Son of God, who is the only Beloved. He is the only Beloved, the only begotten of the Father. And we see this declaration made clear from heaven, even when as a man he walked this earth. Luke chapter 9 verse 35. On that great time of the transfiguration on the mount, where Peter and James and John were privileged, so privileged, to behold his glory. And they see Moses and they see Elijah. And Peter doesn't understand fully what is going on. And he says, let us make 3 booths, one for each one of you. And then they'll completely taken from view. And only Christ is there. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. He's the beloved one. Moses was beloved of God, but he was not the beloved. Moses was loved of God, but he was not the beloved. Elijah was chosen of God. Elijah didn't even see death. He was not the beloved. Only the one who actually would taste death for all men was the beloved of God. The elect were entrusted to the care of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, before he entered the world from eternity. We read clearly in our Lord Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17. Some wondrous things. We see in verse 6, John 17 verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now, if that does not teach election, I do not know what does. If that does not teach he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, I do not know what does. They were. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Now we know that he says in this high priestly prayer that the glory with which I had with thee before the world began. What else could this be telling us? Not only belonging to God the Father now, but past tense also. We read also in verse 9, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Why? Why hast thou given me? For they are thine. They are thine. You cannot in any way, people can try and twist other scriptures, but these two portions of scripture, in fact the whole John 17, you just cannot get from this high priestly prayer, you cannot get from there free will salvation. You cannot get from there people being chosen of God because they believe. You cannot get these false doctrines from there. It's not there. Because it's all on account of they were given to Christ already. Before the world began. They were given to him. They belong to the Father. Long before they knew they belonged to the Father. And that's why Jesus refers to them as sheep. Lost sheep. They were the property of the Father, and that's why he sends his Son, who goes and searches for those sheep, and he brings them back rejoicing. We cross references with what we read in John 6. They will come. Why will they come? Because they are thine. There's no other doctrine. There's no other doctrine that can encourage the struggling church. There's no other doctrine that can encourage the struggling church in the labours of mission and evangelism. Greater than that. They will come. Why? Because they belong to the Father. And they must come. Because he will draw them. And that's what keeps us going. If we believed otherwise, we may as well give up. So not only belonging to God the Father now, but past tense we read. And so, as we finish tonight, let's ponder on these words. Let's ponder on these words. And let's just sit and ponder on these words. Rather than turn to them, just sit and ponder on these words as I read them. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Amen.
Amen.